Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, How to Create a Family Advisory Trust. Tom, you've worked with small businesses for over 30 years. I expect you've run across a number of owners that have desired to pass the company on to their children, but simply didn't know how to do it.
I have, Bill, and nearly always the central concern was how to keep family relationships intact. This month's presenter, Kevin Schwartz, is a really good friend. Although he's a CPA, his parents have a family HVAC company with several family members working in it. The parents wanted to retire, but faced the same relationship concerns as many other owners in similar situations. Over multiple years, Kevin created a family advisory trust, which has worked out extremely well. To be honest with you, Bill, up until a few months ago, I had never even heard the term family advisory trust, much less knew what it was.
Well, you're not alone, Tom. I'd never heard of it either. However, this month's presentation really provides a step-by-step outline for creating one. The creation of a family advisory board acts as a tiebreaker should family members be in disagreement over major decisions. Utilizing the board literally eliminates most family relationship conflicts within the business. This month's presenter is Kevin Schwartz. Kevin earned a BBA degree in finance, followed by an MBA degree in accounting and taxation. After serving in the Air Force, he went on to work with Pierce Waterhouse Coopers. In 2003, he founded the Schwartz CPA Group, building its gross revenues to over $1.4 million with 26 staff members. Over the years, the company acquired other accounting firms in the region and became Myriad CPA Group, with Kevin being the regional accounting firm's managing partner. In 2015, Kevin sold the company to his partners and founded Schwartz Business Advisory, LLC, which helps all kinds of small businesses find clarity in the areas of strategic planning, company growth, and operational effectiveness. And now, with how to create a family advisory trust, here is Kevin Schwartz with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Over the years, I have assisted many clients in the transition of their business. For most businesses, the founder of the company arrives at a point in their life where they must decide about the future of their company. This may be due to health reasons, a desire to spend more time with the grandchildren, or they have just reached a point in their life where they feel it is time to pass the business off to someone else. No matter what the reason may be, it is always an emotional and stressful decision because it is about a company that has been such a major part of their life. Throughout this talk, I will articulate reasons why sooner than later is better when beginning to plan for your business succession. From my experience, most people will delay this exercise due to the fear of the unknown. Clients often tell me they do not know what they will do when they do not have the company to manage. Another reason is that they feel as though the kids are not ready to manage the business. Sometimes it even relates to the financial security that the business provides them. My response is for my client to take some time and write down their concerns, as there is no obstacle that cannot be properly addressed with good planning and the right amount of time to implement the changes. There are many ways to transition a business. Some of the more common approaches are as follows: an outright sale to a third party, liquidate the assets through an auction or traditional sale, merge with another similar company, or transfer the company to the children currently working in the business. This talk is going to discuss ways to transition the company to the children, which I will refer to as the next generation, via a gift or the sale of the company using a family advisory trust. Now, there are some legal and tax considerations that will need to be considered, and this talk will consider those effects, but one needs to obtain legal and accounting advice when considering the use of a family advisory trust. I refer to the trust as an advisory trust because the intent is to provide advice, good counsel, and guidance to future generations of the company and to maintain shareholder alignment. Let us begin by outlining a common scenario in a family business. Typically, the business was founded by the parents who worked very hard over many years building the reputation and client base of the company. As the company grew, More employees were added, and at some point, children began to work for the company. The majority of the day-to-day operational decisions are left to the parents, and the children may have some input, but ultimately the final decision rests with the parents. This brings us to two types of business management structures that I'll refer to as either a, quote, mom-and-pop structure or a, quote, small business structure. In the mom-and-pop business structure, the parents are the primary decision makers and generally own the majority, if not all, of the company stock. They view the company as their business and encourage the children in regards to company activities, but do not actually provide them the decision-making authority or the accountability for performance that would be expected in a non-family business structure. The pay compensation may not relate to the actual value the child brings to the company. Also, family and business boundaries are often blurred. For example, business is often discussed at family gatherings, or the parent-child relationship may be continued when making business decisions. I have had some clients prefer to use the proper name of their parents at work versus referring to them as mom and dad. I personally do not see an issue not using proper names, but I do work with clients to learn boundaries and to keep work matters at work and the family time for family matters. In the small business management structure, decisions are delegated to the appropriate children and compensation is based on the value that the children provide the company. Executive level decisions, such as budgeting, corporate strategy, compensation plans, and so forth, are decided in a board-like environment, and topics are discussed and opinions shared until a vote is taken to decide the best course of action for the business. Although it will vary depending on the size of the business, employees will have limited decision-making authority for their job duties. For a small family-owned business with 15 to 20 employees, there would be four levels of management, and the structure would be as follows. The highest level of management would be an executive board. The executive board consists of stock-holding family members that meet no less than twice a year and no more than once a month. Their role is to set the company strategy, budgets, and govern the executive policies of the business. They also oversee the performance of the president or CEO of the company. The next layer of management would be a designated president or CEO to oversee the general operations of the company. This person would implement the goals and strategic objectives of the board and would be held accountable to the board. The president or CEO normally would be a family member and also serve on the executive board. The other positions, such as vice presidents or managers, would report to the president. Generally, the president would hold weekly, quote, team meetings to manage the daily activities of the company. The third level of management would be for each service or product line division. In each division, there would be a vice president or manager to oversee the activities and be accountable for that division of the company. For example, a company may have an HVAC and a plumbing division for residential and commercial customers. The company may also have designated salespeople, technicians, and other groups within the company. Each company will be unique in how it organizes itself to best implement its business model. However, the company may have a vice president or manager for plumbing services, or for the sales division, or for the technicians. Whatever the leadership structure of the company, in a high-performing small business, it is imperative that the best person is in the role and that they work as a team in fulfilling the company's mission. We could discuss methods and strategies in designing a high-performing team in the organization, but I will save that for another podcast. The last layer of management of employees would be the individual under the vice presidents or managers, and they may or may not carry a title or have any more responsibility than their assigned job role. Even though this group may have the least amount of management responsibility, I would encourage focused training in the area of leadership and teamwork for this group, as they will become the future leaders of the company. If the company did assign some responsibility, they may be referred to as supervisors, team leads, or level 2 technicians, as a few examples. Practically speaking, most family-owned businesses have a little bit of both structures in the organization. However, the closer the company is to the small business management structure, the better the transition of the company business because it provides for a more resilient and organized company. When I perform a client assessment, one of my first observations is to obtain an understanding on the decision-making processes in all areas of the business. Some questions I ask are, who handles customer complaints? Who decides on what equipment and tools are needed and who purchases them? How are people hired? How are people compensated, fired, and so forth? If all those decisions rest on the parents, then we know we have some work to do in transitioning the company to the next generation. You may want to take a sheet of paper and begin sketching out the management structure of your business. List out every employee and write down what kind of decisions that employee is authorized to make. On a personal note, I get a lot of enjoyment helping clients assess their management structure because we always find ways to improve the life of the business owner by delegating decision-making authority and putting in controls to manage that process. The end result is more time for the owner to focus on the business and reduces some stress that goes along with managing the company. Okay, now I'm going to begin walking through the three general steps in implementing a family advisory trust. As I will mention throughout this talk, a family advisory trust is a shareholder of the company whose mission is to maintain shareholder alignment and resolve shareholder conflict that normally arises in any business, but can be especially sensitive in a family-owned business. The family advisory trust will serve on the board of directors, and I'll sometimes refer to this as the executive board, and will have the same duties and powers and authority as a normal shareholder. The first step in implementing a family advisory trust is to assess where your company is in regards to how it is being managed. We had just discussed the two general types of management structures, and for the family advisory trust to be successful, the company needs to be aligned with a small business management structure. Typically, to transform a company from a mom-and-pop management structure to a small business management structure can take 2 to 5 years. Therefore, it is imperative that proper planning begins sooner rather than later. When you begin to plan for the transition, it is important to include the goals of the parents and the goals of the children. I will often interview the children and ask them, why are you wanting to continue to work in the family business? It is important to ensure that this is what the son, daughter, grandchild wants to do. If not, then the family may want to consider other transition options. In my opinion, family businesses are the best places to work because the goal is not focused on increasing shareholder value, but rather on providing a workplace focused on the employee, the customer, and supporting the community. Sadly, few family businesses do not make it to the second generation, and rarely do they pass along to the third generation. I believe this is due to a lack of planning and not having a framework to support the business. As we have been discussing, the management style and the goals of the family must be in alignment throughout the transition process. The second step in implementing a family advisory trust is to assess the company's organizational health and ensure a clear vision and strategy is in place. We have discussed the importance of addressing the organizational structure, but now I'm going to introduce an equally important area of the company to assess, the organizational health. Organizational health is where I look at the various vital signs of the business, much like a doctor would analyze lab results, or a mechanic will assess gauges when trying to fix equipment. Some of the focus areas of organizational health include the company's governance documents, compensation systems, company morale, financial performance, communication, and operational effectiveness, just to name a few. As with any business, conflict is always around. Conflict in a family business, however, can be devastating to both the company and the family unit if not properly resolved. Most conflict results from the lack of healthy communication, perceived favoritism of the parents to the children, real or imagined unequal sibling compensation, ownership by siblings who are not working for the company, or use of company assets such as vehicles, planes, boats, etc. So when the parents decide to transfer the company, either through a gift or a sale to the children, the conflict may become more intense since the parents are no longer the primary decision makers and around to, quote unquote, keep the peace. Therefore, it is important to assess the organizational health of your company and ensure that the children share a common vision of the company and are receptive to leadership change. This process is critical as it helps to ensure any family conflict is resolved and the children maintain a spirit of common purpose with the next generation of family members. Depending on where the company is in regards to organization health, it can take a couple of years and a lot of dedication to resolve conflict and create an environment of trust and teamwork. Let's do a quick review of what we have discussed. In our example, mom and dad desire to transition the company to the next generation. The company has a small business management structure with delegated decision making, regular team meetings with management, and quarterly board meetings where the parents and the next generation vote on executive level strategies and governance items. The goals of the parents and the next generation to include the vision and mission of the company are in alignment. Now, once a company has reached this phase of the transition process, then they can begin to transition mom and dad out of the ownership role and transition in the family advisory trust. A client I recently worked with was primarily concerned that the children be treated fairly and that they continue to treat each other fairly into the future. Obviously, not every future event can be known or controlled, but a framework can be instituted that will allow the next generation the best chance of success. One of the greatest risk factors in any business will face, especially a family-owned business with siblings, is unresolved conflict. You know, I have witnessed profitable small businesses end up closing and the equipment and assets end up in an auction when the partners could just simply not resolve conflict. Some companies have arbitration clauses to resolve conflict, but that is very similar to legal proceedings and not a healthy way to run a business. Now that the groundwork is laid, we can discuss the third step of setting up and implementing a family advisory trust. This step is the process of formalizing legal documents with the assistance of a good attorney and CPA to work through the minutiae of the legal and tax considerations. In most cases, the method the parents decide to transfer the stock, whether the transfer be through the sale of the stock or a gift of a stock, to the next generation will have an impact on the estate plan. To illustrate the mechanics of how this structure works, I will assume the family business has the following family members working in the company: mom, dad, big brother, little brother, and big brother's son. It is important to note that any combination of family members will work using a family advisory trust, although there may need to be some modifications as to voting shares, percentages, etc. And this is where proper planning and the goals of the next generation are important, because a family advisory trust is going to help maintain alignment with the next generation and act as an intermediary for future exchange of stock ownership in the company. In this family business, mom and dad have spent 35 years building the company and have maintained 100% ownership and decision-making authority. Big brother is in his mid-30s, has been working for the company since high school, and believes he has been a major part of the company's success. Little brother just graduated from college and took his first job with the company. And big brother's son is still in high school, but has plans on working in the family business as soon as he graduates. Mom and dad are ready to retire and want to pass along the company to the children. They have spent the past few years transitioning the company from a small business format and have begun to have monthly family board meetings with the two sons on important business decisions. The sons are excited about becoming owners of the company and are open to leadership change and taking on more responsibility and accountability. Although mom and dad technically own 100% of the stock, they have been allowing the final decision to rest on the majority vote, with each person representing one vote. For example, mom and dad have a vote, big brother has a vote, and little brother has a vote, for a total of 3 votes. This structure works well because it allows for each family member to express their opinion and viewpoint for each major decision. As previously mentioned, the Family Advisory Trust is set up to, in effect, step in the place of mom and dad. The primary purpose of the Family Advisory Trust is to resolve shareholder sibling conflict, provide advice and guidance in important company decisions, and help maintain alignment in sibling goals, and provide continuity in the transition of the company to future generations. At this point, I'd like to take a moment, and I feel it's important to talk about the difference between ownership of the company and being an employee of the company. This concept must be understood by the next generation because there is a legal and practical difference between working for the company and having ownership as an investment in the company. If properly structured, the children are getting compensated for the value that they bring to the company. Whatever their ownership percentage may be, that represents the return on their investment in the company, no different than any other investment. If this concept is properly understood by the family, then a sibling who does not have a job within the company should have no conflict in having an ownership percentage of the stock. The key is for the compensation of the working owners to be fair, not equal. Remember, compensation should be based on the value brought to the company, and fair does not equate to equal. If we look at other businesses, such as banks, for example, they have working owners, but are governed by a board. The model works because the working owner of the bank is being compensated fairly based on the value he or she brings to the company. However, there is a sense of pride and a deeper connection for the children who own a family business founded by a pre-generation. And I believe this would be a great attribute of owning a family business. But the children must continue to recognize that there is a difference between the return on the investment and the compensation received for the services provided to the company. Another hurdle in setting up a family advisory trust is establishing a method to value the business. Now, if the parents are gifting the company, then they normally will have final say on the method used to value future transfer of stock in the next generation. However, if the next generation are purchasing all or some of the stock, then expect some negotiations in the method decided upon. There are many ways to value a business, and if the family members cannot agree to a price, then an outside appraiser may have to be hired to value the company. Another common obstacle is when Big Brother may feel entitled to a discount for his shares to represent the value of his efforts in building the business. Of course, the parents would want to ensure that the discount can be justified and is fair for other children if they decide to discount his shares. However, once a method to value the business is agreed upon, then that method can be written into the buy-sell agreement between the children and any future generation, and this will remove any ambiguity and conflict for future transfers. The buy-sell agreement will be between the Family Advisory Trust stock and any future transfer of stock to the next generation after initial establishment of the Family Advisory Trust. In fact, I recommend the Family Advisory Trust be the entity to purchase stock from a retiring next generation and not to a sibling. In our company example, the family have agreed to the value of the company. At times, parents may want to gift the stock to the children, but I normally discourage in gifting business interests to children for succession planning reasons. I recommend that the parents sell the stock to the trust and have the children acquire their share using the trust as the intermediary. As with all transfer of ownership structures, there are legal and tax technicalities and is no different under this framework. Therefore, I recommend using an attorney and CPA to help walk through any peculiarities unique to your situation. I often work with clients on the different methods to finance a transaction. There are a lot of flexibility and options regarding financing of the purchase, but the main effect is that the parents can separate from the business, limit their future business risks, and allow for the children to begin running the company. Now, a good attorney can help you decide on the peculiarities of the trust agreement, but the family advisory trust normally will have three non-family trustees who are selected by the parents along with the children. There is normally a stipend paid to the trustees for attending the board meetings. The length of service is normally staggered to provide continuity to the company. For example, the three trustees will have either a 3, 5, or 7-year term. The trustees should be competent in business matters and may be a trusted banker, a retired CEO, or someone whom the family feels comfortable and can trust. The trust agreement is set up to allow each trustee one vote, thereby requiring two of the three trustees to agree to cast the one vote allotted to the family advisory trust. Remember, an important aspect of this model is to allow the family advisory trust to act as a tiebreaker when the next generation cannot agree on a decision. Since there are multiple methods to arranging voting procedures, I recommend that you rely on the advice of your attorney to assist you in your particular circumstances. Once the trustees are selected and the family advisory trust is formed, the parents will have comfort knowing that there is a mechanism in place to ensure that the siblings focus on the company and not on conflict. The next generation will appreciate some certainty as to their future since the company has a solid transition plan in place. Let me illustrate an example of how the family advisory trust would work in practical terms. Let's assume it has been 3 years since the parents have left the business. The board meets regularly, the company is being managed well, and is making money. Mom and Dad are sending postcards to the various places in Europe they are visiting to the kids. However, Big Brother, who is serving as president of the company, wants to acquire a competitor and take on a large debt. Little Brother is not in favor of taking on any debt to acquire the company, and therefore it is brought up in a shareholder board meeting, which consists of Big Brother, who has one vote, Little Brother, who has one vote, and the Family Advisory Trust, who has one vote, albeit three trustees. The trustees discuss the matter with the siblings and come to a solution where they agree to support Big Brother, but have agreed to some alternative financing methods. In most cases, Little Brother will be in agreement with this decision, as everyone has had an opportunity to express their thoughts and concern. In addition to resolving conflict between shareholders and maintaining shareholder alignment, the Family Advisory Trust is also a means to transfer interests to future generations. As mentioned earlier, the terms and method of valuing the company shares of stock should already be decided upon. So as future generations begin to take on ownership of the family business, the precedent is already established and it becomes a business transaction and not an emotional or stressful experience. I will quickly illustrate how the transaction to the third generation would work. In our example, Big Brother's son has been employed in the family business for 10 years and now wants to buy some company stock. 10 years of employment with the family business was a requirement for ownership by a family member along with other restrictions. And yes, you can set up parameters for ownership in the agreement, such as length of service, certifications, etc. Since the Family Advisory Trust held ownership interest in the company, the transaction is between Big Brother's son and the Family Advisory Trust, not Little Brother and Big Brother. Imagine all the conflict that has been avoided because the agreements were set up to not involve family members and to use a fair and equal approach to any family member wanting to work for and have ownership in the family business. And another benefit of this structure is that it allows for certainty with future generations. And this benefit provides sustainability to the company. And this can help the company last for multiple generations. I have just outlined to you how to transition your family business utilizing a family advisory trust. We discuss the importance of proper planning, and hopefully I have articulated why it can take 2 to 5 years to properly transition your family business, and emphasize the importance of starting sooner rather than later on planning for succession. I've outlined the major steps and considerations that must be accounted for when attempting to use a family advisory trust to transition your company to the next generation. There are other less important processes that should be implemented to allow for a healthy transition that go beyond the scope of this talk. However, the more effort and attention on setting up the family advisory trust and the company management structure, along with the company's organizational health, will have a significant impact on the success of the future of the family business.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.